This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fan.com and click on the Pro Football Challenge banner.
We got them right where we want them.
Prime time on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today from this moment on is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make The Fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
Football Friday with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy!
What is up? How's your Friday?
I'm trying to read about this James Wiseman story. It's kind of confusing.
Why?
Well, so he's the...
So the date was wrong in Woj's tweet. 2018, not 2008.
Yeah. So, you said 11 years ago.
Which is what his original tweet was.
Yeah, it
was
fake news!
So I was kind of reading through this, and I guess Penny Hardaway helped him move?
Yeah.
And Penny Hardaway was considered a booster by the NCAA?
Well, he's his coach.
I know, but that's why it says he's considered a booster by the NCAA, because he donated to the University of Memphis in 2008. So that's why I was kind of confused.
He's 18.
It was the wrong date. Woj 18. Tweeted the wrong date, which
it
is
was
a
fake
very...
fake news.
Okay, but this is a different one. This is from a news channel in
right.
Memphis.
They're reporting the Woj. It's 2018.
Yeah. It's last year.
Okay.
2008 is the incorrect date.
The kid is James Wiseman.
Yes.
He's the number one recruit in the country. Penny Hardaway, who is now the coach at Memphis, helped fund Wiseman and his family moving to Memphis to prepare for his freshman season at that school.
Okay.
And you apparently cannot do that.
Yeah, all right.
He's been deemed a booster, and Wiseman is ineligible.
But is when he was in high school, though.
That's right. But he plays for him now.
Okay.
So in other words, they're saying...
He's a true freshman this year.
Yeah. They're saying he did that, and that's how he got him.
Okay.
And you can't do that, and you're a booster, and F you in your face.
Okay.
That's what they're saying.
As I'm reading through, because I was reading through multiple, because I saw this about maybe 10 minutes ago. And I was reading through some stories on my
breaking
phone.
Breaking news.
And it all seemed very...
hey, we have breaking news.
It all
news.
Seemed very convoluted.
Don't we have a breaking news sponsor now?
I think we do.
We do.
This is breaking
Let's get it in.
News.
Let's practice. Well, ready?
No, it's not. You guys don't do anything.
Oh.
Wait, sorry.
All right. It's brought to you by...
Shut up.
All right. Shutting up. That's it? What?
That's you just tell us to shut up?
Yeah,
and then...
what?
There. It will play in the break. There is a pre-done thing that will
then
play in the break.
Why are we shutting up? What is happening?
I'm just telling him to stop trying to read a sponsor that doesn't exist yet.
Oh, it exists, Bill.
Okay. All right, well.
Breaking news is brought to you by somebody, and apparently it's not really breaking. You have to wait till the break, and then they play it.
Okay. So
which
we,
makes total sense.
We don't break news during the show. So if we have something, then we just sit on it and wait for the breaking news sounder that has to come during the break?
It's the intercom way.
All right.
No. You do the breaking news as if it is breaking news.
Breaking news!
Yeah. Breaking
and then in the subsequent break, there is a little thing that plays that says, this breaking news was brought to you by blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
All right. So it's coming. Wait for it.
Crystal clear. Yeah, just right
there was
on.
An email, I think.
Yeah. I saw something about it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry. I didn't mean to get all sportsy right off the top. That's what I was reading about when you asked how I was doing.
Well, Oregon plays Memphis in the PK thingy.
Yeah, the Invitational.
Yeah, so that kind of sucks. Wiseman's not going to play.
I know.
He's ineligible.
Everyone's like, well, they did. They're suing, so maybe they get a stay. They're suing the NCAA and the University of Memphis.
Okay.
So they're
good for them.
Does it really matter? He'll be the number
Isn't
one.
Isn't everyone?
He'll be the number one pick either way.
Yeah, is he supposed to be the number one overall pick next year?
Yeah, he's supposed to be the number one overall pick.
Wow.
So whether he plays another game or not. And that's the same thing if the Chase Young, who's the best defensive player in the country, probably the best player in the country, and he's ineligible right now for Ohio State because of a loan that he took out and then paid back.
Yeah.
But someone pointed out, too, that at this point, no offense, but the NCAA and Ohio State need Chase Young a lot more than Chase Young needs them. If he never plays another down and just gives everyone the middle finger, he can just pull a Bosa and go be the number one overall pick.
Well, might I submit to the court that it's great that he's not playing against Maryland?
Well, or and I think
there's no reason for him to get hurt in that game.
You know who they're playing the week after that?
No.
Rutgers.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, so what?
Two games.
Suspend him for 2 games.
Perfect.
Be back
You're
in
doing
time.
Ohio State a favor.
Be back in time for Penn State.
Wow. Well, that is very sportsy. You know what woke me up at 5:30 this morning? By the way, are you accustomed to the new, the daylight saving time and the whole thing?
Yeah,
do you wake up like an hour earlier now?
None of that stuff ever bothers me.
Well, it doesn't bother me either, but do you wake up like an hour earlier?
Because
I am now. I'm now waking up at 5:20.
Are you?
Yeah.
And doing what?
I'm waking up at 6:30 every morning.
Is that an hour earlier than you normally?
Well, my alarm is set for 7, so I'm waking up before my alarm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, normally I have that. I never set my alarm, really. I just have that internal clock, and it's usually about 6:15, 6:30.
Yeah, you just kind of wake up.
Now, it's 5:15 to 5:30.
And then do you go back to bed, or are you?
I can't. I go down there and make some coffee.
Rob's up bouncing around at 5:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
That's significantly early.
It's like, super early. Yeah. It makes me feel like, because I'm already morphing into an old man right before everyone's eyes.
Yeah.
This is just another.
Are you in bed at like 9:15?
You know, sometimes I am. As a matter of fact, last night, dude, I'm not kidding. I didn't see the end of the Blazers game. I fell asleep.
Did you really?
Yes.
On the couch or in bed?
In bed. I was sitting there with my, what do you call these things? iPads?
Yeah.
On my lap watching it. And
you just dozed off. See, for whatever reason,
I woke up and found out that they lost. They were ahead when I fell asleep.
I cannot.
So you're the one to blame.
Yeah. I cannot fall asleep doing anything in bed. But if that same activity, TV, reading, whatever, is on the couch, I'm out in 15 minutes. I don't know why that is.
Interesting.
But I can fall asleep on the couch, be dead to the world, wake up, go upstairs, and just plop right down in bed, and then I'm like, well, I'm up for another 4 hours.
This always blows my mind, because my wife is just like that. If she gets at all comfortable on the couch, instantly passes out. There's no matter what time of day, there's no saving her. And I'm sitting there going, if you don't want to fall asleep, just don't fall asleep. Because to me, I get tired on the couch, and I just sit up so I don't fall asleep.
No, I can't do
it. I have, like, full control. I have full control over it, and I'm always blown away. Like, how do you just, like...
Wait, you have control over not falling asleep?
Yeah, if I'm tired, but I want to stay up, I just stay up.
Once that launch code is punched
in
for me...
I don't fall asleep until I'm going up to the bed.
No. Once I start doing the head nod, there's nothing I can do to stop the inevitable nap that's about to go down.
Can anyone? Mike, you're saying you can?
Yeah, the second I start to feel it happening, I'm like, nope, I'm not falling asleep. I make myself get up.
That's called cocaine. You get up and do a railer or two, and then you're like, well, I'm up.
No, I just sit up straight instead of like lying down on the couch.
Wow.
Because I hate falling asleep in the middle of the day when I don't want to fall asleep. I hate it. So I just make sure I stay awake.
So here's what woke me up this morning, even though I'm waking up at this time every day now. Really, really, really loud popping sounds, like 30 of them. Gunshots.
Outside?
Well, it wasn't inside.
Okay,
but it was very close.
Okay,
to where we live.
When you said popping sounds, and then you said gunshots, but I was like, well, it's like someone making like microwave popcorn? Is house creaking? What's happening?
It's either fireworks or gunshots, and I really have a hard time differentiating between the two. I don't know how you're supposed to. Unless I heard them side by side,
sure.
And maybe I could. But I thought for sure it was gunshots. And then just out of the sliver of the corner of the blind, I could see somebody was shooting off fireworks at 5:15 in the morning.
In November?
Yes. This morning.
Like bottle rockets or what are we,
just,
what are we
I don't know,
with?
Look like a white firework.
Wow, that seems like a very odd and random.
And it woke up the whole damn neighborhood. All the dogs barking.
Was it a bunch of kids?
Probably.
Did you go outside like in your underwear and yell at them?
Bunch of punk teenagers.
Like I picture Rop in a robe that, but like he's lost the tie and there's some saggy whitey tidies, you know, maybe some house slippers, and you on the front porch, some chest hair hanging out, yelling at the damn neighborhood kids. What the hell's going on over in your neighborhood?
I don't know. I was just happy that it wasn't gunshots.
Jeebus.
Because my wife woke up. She goes, gunshots or fireworks? I'm like, fireworks. She's like, oh, all right.
That was the discussion that was had.
Mm-hmm.
You do always.
It was hard to tell.
No one ever believes that it's actual gunfire, but I will tell you that if you live in a place where you hear gunfire, it's pretty easy to tell the difference.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought too. I thought, you know, that's fireworks because I saw it at the very end. I saw it, so So I'm like, okay, those fireworks. But then I thought to myself, well, even if I didn't see that, I mean, if it were gunshots, I think I would have known.
Yeah.
It would have been more crisp.
When I lived in Le Center, in a wonderful little twist there, lots of gunfire. I don't think anyone was getting murdered. It just was the general country, you know, people like their guns out there. It's like Yosemite Sam country. Yahoo! And so often you would hear gunshots. And I wouldn't say that it became like an everyday thing. But every week where I lived, you would hear gunfire on a fairly regular basis, and you learn to separate the two between fireworks and guns. Although it's been a while now, so maybe I'm out of practice.
Well,
you don't hear a lot of gunshots in Vancouver.
I'm on the mean streets of Multnomah Village now. So
you're down there right in the heart of it.
It's dangerous.
You got to prove yourself in the village.
It's dangerous out there.
I will never forget we were trying to sell our house once, and we had already had the one where we had my neighbor light a tire fire, and the people came up, went into my driveway, turned around, and went right back out. They were supposed to come look at the house, and I just was like, you know what, neighbor, bravo. Thank you for that tire fire. Didn't even bother to get out of the car. And I remember another time some people came and were looking at the house, and it was a husband and wife, and so we just left the house. We were like, hey, you guys go in, take a look. We'll be outside. And they had a little kid and then another one on the way. And while they were in there, the automatic gunfire broke out. And not like a little bit of automatic gunfire.
There's a sale.
A lot of automatic gunfire. And let me tell you, the look on her face, yeah, it was wonderful.
What do you say to smooth that over?
Yeah, you really can't. Yeah, you really can't smooth that one over. And once again, they immediately left, and that was the end of that prospective buyer.
You just say fireworks.
No, I'm pretty sure everyone knew what that was. I mean, that must have been literally, because like where I lived, they were just, it was like on a main country road, and there were offshoots. And each offshoot had maybe 3-4 homes. And then it was just property in between. And it must have been just the next street over. I mean, it full on sounded like a war zone. Someone had gotten an automatic rifle and they were playing with it or mowing down a tree, whatever. And it wasn't like a little short burst. You would hear, you know, 15 seconds of sustained gunfire, followed by some laughing, followed by some reloading, and then some more gunfire. It just really was, it was perfectly timed.
The realtor's like, well, you know, you live in the city, that's what you're going to get. But it's not. It's listen.
No, it's.
Le Center.
Yeah.
Wow.
Never did get a chance to thank that one. I got to thank my neighbor for the tire fire. Never got to fully thank the people next door to me for, I don't know, breaking out the M60.
Do you know what the
Midge is trying to buy my house?
You know what they're calling the new secondhand smoke now?
What?
Because there's less secondhand smoke now.
Yeah.
So, remember secondhand smoke?
I do remember secondhand smoke. I loved the terrible. I loved back in the old day when the smoking section was literally just like a velvet
across the aisle.
Yes. What?
So, Mike, are you old enough to remember secondhand smoke and having to inhale smoke?
Yeah,
my
mom was a smoker for of my childhood.
That's
so
right.
Or half of my childhood. So I dealt with it for a while.
Okay. And would she smoke where would she smoke?
She'd smoke in the car. She would smoke usually in her bedroom. There was a little side window where she had a little spot where she would blow the smoke out. Mm-hmm. I mean, she would make sure it wasn't just like smoking in the house, but that was usually the two most common spots.
Okay. Yeah. So Mike knows it well.
Yeah.
They're saying the new secondhand smoke is noise. There's a lot of stories that have been written lately about, you know, just especially city life. Like I've noticed since we've moved how freaking loud it is, especially early in the morning. You got delivery trucks.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of businesses down there. You've got the construction going on. You've got fireworks, apparently. Maybe the occasional semi-automatic. There's just a lot of noise. It's just loud. It's just loud.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of studies done about how harmful that is on our hot bodies.
Just like not getting enough sleep or just...
It can increase your stress levels, you know. Mm. These are things that affect you that you don't really know are affecting you. And I guess as you get older, you start to become like an old man and you do realize, you're more aware of it, right? Like as a kid, you just like none of that stuff, you don't even think
about.
You're
busy making all the noise, running around.
Exactly. But when you get older, you're like, man, it really is loud here.
Well, it makes sense. Like, go to any sort of event, you're just dinner, whatever. You're just hanging out, and you find, like, a really annoying child or, you know, an arguing couple, whatever. Anything that's loud and piercing, And tell me if that doesn't have a physical impact on you. Of course it does.
Yeah,
it drives you crazy.
Does.
And then you put that in your everyday life. Yep. Yeah, I can see that.
It stresses us out and it's killing us.
Parents are always so bitchy.
We're right. Part of it is just flat out the noise of those little a-holes. But I'll see if I can pick out one of the stories and bring it to you. I'll present it to you in the club. It's pretty interesting about the effects of just noise. And just if you ever pay attention, just start listening to just how loud stuff is, depending on where you are.
Does that make you feel like whenever I hear stuff like that, like I buy into that, right? That like that can have a negative impact on our health. But then I think back to like my dad and like grandparents, and I just wonder if they're just like looking down like you candy asses. Like, you know,
maybe just, so.
Like, that's our main health concern. Like, back in the day, you got the black lung, you're dealing with polio and smallpox. And
no, that's
just
true.
These horrific things. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I just can't get any rest. It's like I'm laying there. I got my orthopedic pillow, right? I got my white noise machine. And then, you know, I got Kidz Bop on, and they just, no one will shut up.
They can't hear me because they're listening to Kidz Bop.
Like, I know these are real health problems.
No, it's true.
But, God, they make me feel like such a candy ass that this is, like, our health concern.
But it's just true. I mean, it doesn't have to be, like, a major thing, but it is true that it's noisier than ever out there in the big, bad world. And they are studying the effects, and it does affect us.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're going to die when we're old. I did see
so that, just start smoking now.
That Netflix Explained show. I don't know if you've ever watched. It's such a good. They're only like 20 minutes long. I highly recommend it.
Calm down.
They did one on like longevity, like how long can we live, and it was really interesting. They said that there really hasn't been much progress in when we're old. We're not living any longer than anyone used to. We're just living. If you got to an old age 50 years ago, you were living about as long as we are today. It's just that it was harder to get there. More of us are getting to old age. Mm. But this idea that we're living longer than ever, it's true, but it's a bit of a curveball because
in other words, we're getting there. We're smarter about getting there.
Yes, but once we're there, so if you lived in the 1930s or 40s and you got there, you got into your 70s, there's not much difference between those people that are 70 and when you and I are 70.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. Which is kind of just like maybe when you just
except for their black lungs.
Maybe when you're just old, all that stuff just beats you down no matter what. No matter what era you live in, you're just old and there's too many outside factors and they're going to kill you anyways.
Yeah. I mean, I've always just thought that, I mean, I don't care what we do. How long are we going to prolong? Like, what's the oldest person ever? Like 120,
yeah,
maybe?
It's like 120.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like, well, is there going to be a time when humans live?
Well, that's the, I'm telling you.
How far do they go then?
Give it a whirl. It's like 20 minutes and
spoil it for me.
It was one of the more interesting ones. Well, there's no definitive answer.
Well, maybe we don't know, but what do they think?
But that's
science.
The whole point of it is they're not trying to, the next phase is not going to be curing disease. It's going to be curing age. That people are for the first time viewing aging as the disease, not cancer, not diabetes, not
slow down the aging process.
Yes. That's the next evolution in us living longer is not treating disease, but treating age as the disease.
Fascinating. All right. There's your first segment, guys. Bonus time, bonus 5 minutes right there. And some sports.
Yeah.
Colin Wilson, Action Network with his hot college football picks, LSU, Alabama. Will Oregon State cover tonight? We'll get to that at 3:30. But quite a bit to talk about in the news today, and we'll get to all of that in the sports news, that is. Coming up next on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Joe Harrington coming up at 5:30 today. Get a little hot duck talk, but he's going to be on the phone today.
Well, not a lot of... The Ducks don't play.
Yeah, but we'll still talk about them.
Okay.
Come on, man.
It'll be a wide-ranging conversation, I'm guessing. Half the time when the Ducks do play, we go off topic.
So that'll be 5:30. Colin Wilson coming up next. Action Network, gambling guru. He's been money. But do you want to hear... So last night the Blazers lost.
Yeah.
I found out.
Tale of two halves, though.
Yeah, I thought they played a lot better in the second half in terms of just the way they came out at halftime.
They had 40 points at the half. I mean,
yeah.
That's
well,
not...
they just looked a lot better in the third quarter.
So all we need is for them to play on prime time, and then at half, Charles Barkley and Shaq to rip Whiteside a new a-hole, and then good things happen in the second half.
You want
to
hear it?
Yeah.
For those that didn't hear it, this was TNT at the half.
You are correct, sir.
Whiteside is, people are starting to notice, and it didn't take long.
No.
That he is a bit of a bum. And while he can give you points and rebounds, and he can play in the NBA, he is maddening. He is oftentimes a liability. And they could not hope that Zach Collins and Yusuf Nurkic and Pau Gasol or some other big man join the roster and are able to play soon.
Because right now, it's all they got.
It's him. It's him. And he's frustrating. So here's what Shaq said.
All you players, if this is your contract year, ball out. Play with effort. Play. Whiteside, this is contract year. I'd be sticking up for him all the time. Me and Chuck, we all have these arguments. But tonight, he's playing with no effort.
But at least he's consistent.
If this is my contract year, and they're handing out $250, $300 million, what you think I'm going to do, Kenny? Ball out. Whiteside got to pick it up if he's trying to get new money. Last time he was playing on the contract, he had a great year. He got a lot of money, and Chuck seems to think ever since he got the new money, he's not really playing anymore. I don't feel that way. I would like to see more effort out of Hassan.
That's because he don't.
He don't. And then Shaq has a...
he's not wrong.
No, Shaq has a... Or not Shaq. It's Barkley that had the... he's stealing money.
Say he has one good game out of four. That's not an NBA professional. You can give effort four games.
I didn't say he's not giving effort. But I... Okay, for me, going into a game, I said if I get the ball free throw line to free throw line between four and five seconds, then also what I'm going to do if I... On pick and rolls, if I get 2 feet in the paint. And the other thing is every time there's an open shot, on a spot shot swing, I need to shoot it. So now I'm going to the game, and I'm going to do those three things every time, regardless if I'm making shots or missing shots. But with Whiteside, I don't know if he knows what his strengths are. Do you think he knows what his strengths are?
Yeah, going to the bank twice a month.
No, listen.
That's his strength. Going to the bank twice a month, stealing money. Let me tell you something, Kenny.
We've seen him many times when he plays aggressive.
Listen, Zubac got 11-9.
Damn.
Damn.
Calm down.
Well, look, they're calling out Whiteside, but this is all on all of us for thinking that he would be anything different than this. This is what he is. Yes. You knew you were getting a guy who was a little, who was like this. You knew this. Mm-hmm. He's been in the league. It's just not a shock to anyone.
He's supremely talented.
He doesn't get it.
He's still productive. I thought he had a really nice second half. He played really well.
Somebody lit a fire under him. I don't know. Somebody mentioned that Lillard was yelling at him in the first half. I didn't see that, but I saw that somebody was talking about that. Was that true?
I didn't see it either. Lillard is the ultimate leader. I mean, he got voted just this offseason as the best leader in the NBA. If anyone is going to get through to Whiteside,
it's Shaq and Charles. Maybe that's what he heard. I promise you that he heard that.
Well, and after the game, he was addressing it.
Did he?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said that. I'll paraphrase here because I don't have the clip in front of me. But he said, everyone thinks I don't have effort. You can't go out and average a double double without effort. He said that's ridiculous. And then he said that Shaq got killed in a rap battle by Lillard, so he doesn't expect anything positive coming from Shaq.
Oh, God.
Which was interesting because if you listen to the clip, Shaq was the one that was actually trying to defend Whiteside.
Yeah, Barkley, Chuck was all over him.
Chuck was ripping him a new one. Shaq was just saying that he didn't look like he was playing with effort, but Shaq had defended him, and Shaq was the one that was more on his side. Chuck was the one that was taking the real bad shots at him. So I don't necessarily think the whole he got killed in a rap battle. But Whiteside obviously is going to be defensive about that. But anytime someone says anything with an element of truth to it, it always hurts a little bit more.
Right.
Like if someone were to call Hassan Whiteside fat and out of shape, it wouldn't bug him because he's not fat and he's not out of shape. But when someone questions or says that you can't, defend the perimeter, you can't shoot the three, he's not going to be bothered by that because there's, whatever. But when something hits at the core of you, when something hits at something that you know to be true that's really personal, that bothers you about you, of course he's going to take it personal. And whether he heard that from Shaq in at the half and Chuck or whether it was Lillard that got in his face or it's just a product of... He's inconsistent. He had a really nice second half, and I don't think that he's terrible, but you're right in that this is the Hassan Whiteside. you will not know what you are going to get from game to game. You're not going to know what you get from half to half or maybe even quarter to quarter. And you just got to hope, fingers crossed, that the good white side outweighs the bad because there's no other option that you have.
Just going to have to live with it.
Yeah.
And hope that it doesn't, you know, splinter the team. I think that's my biggest worry is we see guys like this all the time. It's like these guys are all over the NBA.
Yeah.
They're a little bit more into their own numbers or they don't have the motor that you want them to, and teammates get upset with them, and then it divides the locker room. Some people are on his side, some people aren't. I don't know if the Blazers, I mean, the thought was the Blazers have the culture to avoid any sort of splintering when it comes to a player like that. And so we'll see. Maybe they do.
Well, it's going to be the
ultimate. We'll see, though.
It's going to be
He's going to test it.
Yes. And when you have the adage in sports is when you have great culture, great leadership from the top on down, and Portland does. When you have that, you can take on risky personalities. And so.
Well, listen,
this is going to be it.
My only thing about that is that's fine if he's coming off the bench, but when he's your prominent big man, it's a real problem. Yeah. He's the main big man that they have. They can't.
He's their only big man.
Yeah. And so it's like, I just think you can do better to fit him into the system when he is coming off the bench and when you have Nurkic and Collins and when you have guys to go to when he doesn't match up well with someone or he's being lazy for a night or he's being pouty or whatever. You can sit his ass down and you got other guys to go to. When he's your only guy, you can't have this. And it's killing him. Yeah. It really is. He is a liability.
But in the second half, he was great. He ended up with 17 and 19. And in the second half, he was a difference maker for you.
He was better. But again, if that's flipped, you're not saying that. You don't. If he came out really, really solid in the first half and was terrible in the second half, you're not saying anything. But you can't be that inconsistent. You just can't. Not on this team. Not when you're the one big guy. So they don't. I don't know. We'll see. We'll give him a chance to see how they do with him and see if they can drag him along and you know, maybe it won't mean a thing and they can get him where they want him. But boy, early returns on that are worrisome.
Yeah, it's going to be
I'm a fan.
It's going to be frustrating.
All right, Colin Wilson, Action Network, picks against the spread in college football, LSU, Bama, Oregon State, Washington tonight. That's coming up next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Real quick, Memphis star James Wiseman will play tonight after a judge put a hold on his ineligibility ruling. So we'll get to more of that coming up. Also, we've got to get to the Deion Sanders news.
It might be non-news because
Primetime.
Someone is now trying to poo-poo that news.
But right now, it is time for Colin Wilson, Action Network. He joins us every Friday at 3:30, and I think this time live from Las Vegas. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I am live in Las Vegas and actually in a sports book as we speak because this Memphis line, I mean, just this whole news breaking. If you can get a piece of some Memphis action, good or bad, whether, you know, Wiseman's going to be there or not, this is the kind of thing that a gambler lives for, this kind of news.
Well, first of all, who are they playing and what is the line?
The line right now, hold on. I have to take myself off mute to see what the current line is. But, you know, I mean, because I thought Penny, I'm reading the pennies in court right now, and it's minus 20. And it looks like, yeah, now the number's coming back up again. This is just craziness. It goes down, it dips down, and then it's coming back up. So Memphis is now minus 20 against Illinois, Chicago.
Okay.
I can't tell you what a key number is in basketball around 20, but, I mean, still, this is huge news with their best player and the coach potentially not being there or being there.
That's hilarious. So what sports book are you in?
I am in Venetian, so it's a CG technology book.
All right. Well, we've got football tonight. Oregon State, 6-2 against the spread this year. Do you think they keep it close against Washington?
I don't, actually. I think this is a major step up in class in the trench play from Washington to Oregon State. And there's just some, you know, power success rate from an opportunity rate standpoint. Washington's trench, if they're motivated and they're still in this season, they should have their way in the trench to be able to push Oregon State around. So while, you know, teams coming into Corvallis, you know, in double-digit spreads is not really appealing to a gambler, I think Washington decides that you have to go.
Is this kind of like when they played Utah? Just a bit of a different animal here?
completely outclassed against Utah in the trench. And, I mean, you know, if Jacob Eason is on, then, you know, that's something that Oregon State's defense is not going to be ready to, you know, take care of.
Hey, a lot of the gambling world was on USC last week. I know we talked about it here as they played Oregon. Did the Ducks show you something in that game?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the kickoff return, so there were a bunch of returns before halftime, just some really inefficient USC play. Some special teams touchdowns that happened right before halftime, and that just completely changed everything. It's like USC gave up, I'm not sure from a coaching perspective or a player perspective, but the ejections, people losing their cool. USC was just an emotional team that, you know, started getting the score ran up on them, and they didn't fight for the rest of the game. But, yeah, Oregon, to me, Oregon-Utah is the best chance for the Pac-12 to be in the playoff.
Who does the Sharps, or who do you think is the best team in college football right now? If you had to put out odds on everything, who is the best team?
Yeah, I've got Ohio State rated 2 points better than Alabama and 3 points better than Clemson. And, you know, Clemson gets brought up. I had a tweet the other day that got a lot of attention because I said Clemson would be a 10.5-point favorite over Penn State. Penn State was actually included in the top four. And, you know, I don't have Penn State within a touchdown. And some other odds makers here in town in Vegas came out and said, yeah, Clemson would be favored by at least a touchdown over Penn State. And I think Clemson's defense is just not getting enough attention for what they lost on the defensive line to the NFL and what they've been able to do this year on defense.
Now, are you in Vegas because it was just a scheduled trip, or are you there because you see some super hot action this week?
Well, LSU-Alabama is a special game, and it deserves special attention. And you know, I had some MLB futures that needed to be cashed before the tickets would expire, and so it was just that time of year to come out, get the MLB tickets out of the safe at home, get those cashed, and come on in and get my LSU-Bama betting on, and possibly drop some futures and some other sports while shopping around town.
Well, I saw you tweeted you took the Reds to win the World Series.
I did take the Reds, yeah. The Reds is somebody I've had targeted for quite a while. The reason why I was pretty hot this year on the Cubs not meeting their team total of 91 or 90, I think it was dipping out here in town, is because the rest of the division, the rest of the NL Central, was stepping up in class. Now, the Pirates didn't pull off what I thought they would, but the Reds were very much improved over the past year. The Brewers and the Cardinals did their part. The division really is a toss-up for me. They have three great pitchers in Sonny Gray, hopefully Trevor Bauer is healthy, Luis Castillo, and they had Suarez. I mean, Eugenio Suarez hit 50 bombs. And then management came out 2 weeks ago and said the Reds are going to expand their budget to add offensive players. They're buyers in the market this year. They're one of the only buyers in the MLB market, and they've already got a stellar pitching staff and a great bullpen.
What are the odds? What are you getting there to lay that?
Yeah, it's 50-1 out here. The best book out here. I did my shopping, and there's plenty of places at 30-1 and 40-1. But Reds at 50-1. This is a team I think is going to compete for the wild card. And all you do is just, you know, it's like we say in poker: give me a chip and a chair. If you can get me into the postseason with these guys, even if it's a wild card scenario, I'll take 50-1 any day.
I like it. All right, Colin Wilson, Action Network. Looking for an edge? Download the free Action Network app. Get live odds and expert analysis for every game. So LSU is catching 6.5 on the road at Alabama. And I know a lot of people are betting on the over-under. I guess it's like 64, 65. How do you view this matchup?
I'm one of the very few people that thinks that this is absolutely going to be an over game. And it's just because how soft the defenses are for Alabama and LSU. Over the middle, Alabama is very young. They have, you know, they've been burned by Plumlee of Ole Miss. They've been burned by other quarterbacks that aren't at Joe Burrow's level. Same thing with LSU. If you look at them, they're outside the top 100 in opponent pass explosiveness. And, you know, reading some of these stats on Tua, Tua may be hurt, and Tua may be immobile and can't get outside the tackles, but he has one of the quickest release rates of any quarterback in college football. I'm not sure LSU's press is going to be able to get to him before the ball leaves his hand.
What else we got kind of looking around here? Let's see some other big games that are going on. Obviously, that's the big one.
Penn State, Minnesota.
Yeah, Penn State, Minnesota, I think, would be the other big matchup, and then maybe Iowa and Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think Wisconsin's not going to have a problem winning this game. Covering, they should cover the 9.5. It's about where I power rate it. But Iowa just has serious issues on second down. Like, if they're 2nd and 11, they're trying to run the ball to get to 3rd and 7. Like, they're not trying to complete first downs when they get, you know, when they have an unsuccessful play on first down. They're not built to come back on anybody. And I think Wisconsin's going to, you know, put them down pretty early, and it could be a runaway. So I've got money on Wisconsin. Minnesota, it's really hard. Their strength of schedule is so poor. The market is telling me that Minnesota is going to cover this game, so you should take it at 7. You should take it at 6.5. But when I look at Penn State, it's impossible to handicap them because the first few drives are like they're scripted for Sean Clifford. Penn State will be hot on offense, and then they'll go into these lulls for like 2 quarters. So they're really a tough team to handicap, and both these teams have so many unknowns.
Did I miss the side on the LSU-Alabama game that you liked?
So it's hard for me to ask because I power rate this at Alabama -7. So I would buy Alabama -6. The problem is I've already got all my work done. I had a look ahead line on LSU at +8, and then I turned around this week and took Alabama -5.5. So my ultimate goal as a gambler, like if you're trying to be an advanced gambler, this LSU-Alabama game is exactly how you do it because LSU +8 was outrageous 2 weeks ago. I took that, and then Alabama got down as low as -5.5, and now I'm basically free rolling, hoping Alabama wins by 6 or 7, and I win both sides.
That's amazing.
Gambling's the best. I'm looking here. I know Baylor is undefeated, 8-0, but they're playing 4-4 TCU, and this line is at 2.5. Does Vegas really think that little of Baylor?
I think really what we're waiting on is to hear about Max Duggan for the freshman quarterback for TCU. Baylor, West Virginia shouldn't have been in that game whatsoever. Baylor only allowed West Virginia to get into opponent territory 3 times. Baylor's defense did a tremendous job against West Virginia. And you have to remember, their touchdown came on a special teams play, came on a pick six. Baylor's defense is outstanding. So, you know, the TCU quarterback situation, their second string, Collins, I think he's beat up. He's got some kidney issues. Their third string quarterback, Alex Delton, transferred out of the program after just transferring in from Kansas State. There's a possibility TCU could be playing a fourth string quarterback tomorrow, and that's what's kind of got me backed off this game.
So in the Pac-12, you've got Stanford only laying 3 at Colorado. I really like Wazoo -8 at Cal. And then you've got two teams really hard to handicap, USC, Arizona State. Do you have strong plays in any of those other Pac-12 games this weekend?
I do have Colorado upsetting Stanford. I think this is a thing where they're playing, people are not recognizing that they are still fighting hard, still playing hard. They should have beaten USC on a Friday night. USC had to have a massive comeback to get at Colorado. I think the number jumped up because, it was announced that Stanford's quarterback is coming back, which, KJ Costello is a big upgrade, but I think this game should be power rated at a pick and not at Colorado +3. So I do like the Buffs in that game. I don't really have a feel in Arizona State and USC, but it just seems like with rumors swirling about Urban Meyer taking a job at USC, and now they're out of the Pac-12 South race, is this going to be a game that's all Arizona State? But then again, I think there's some, Jaden Daniels injury news we got to pay attention to. So that game I haven't invested in yet.
All right. Well, as we do every week, before we cut you loose, any other college plays we need to know about, and then maybe something from the NFL?
Yeah, let's go with a real, a real dirty play that I've been hitting around town, which is UConn +35. There was a couple 35.5s around town, but you say UConn football, that's terrible. But if you look at Cincinnati's box scores the last 4 games, they have allowed everybody to outgame them. They almost lost straight up to East Carolina as a double-digit favorite. Cincinnati has got some serious defensive issues, some serious offensive issues in getting points up on the board, and they are due. If you look at all their box scores between Tulsa, Central Florida, they've been very lucky to win their last few games. And they are due for what I've said before is an eye-popping loss. It's coming for Cincinnati.
All right, UConn. How about that? Randy Edsall, +35.
35.
I love that.
They're still fighting hard. They're still fighting hard. They're covering teams, and they're still playing as hard as they can.
And then what about the NFL? You see anything you like?
I'm shyly, not trying to be too proud about it, but I'm taking Cincinnati +10.5. I think it's a great spot getting the Ravens off of a massive national showcase game against the Patriots, really making the Patriots look bad. This is a divisional game, so these teams know each other really well. This game should be about 7. I think 10 is just a complete overreaction. If you can get 10.5, I think the Bengals at home in a divisional game is a great play.
All right, sir. Enjoy Vegas. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, you got it. Anytime. He's every Friday, 3:30, Colin Wilson.
I now want to bet on Cincinnati or UConn getting 35. I love games like that because it can be a total blowout and you'll be glued to your couch like, come on now.
That's one of those games where it's like, if UConn gets up 7-0, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm on easy street.
Yeah, you're
35-point
underdog. You're 42.
Those games are hilarious. But that's where those guys are so good, man. They find stuff like that.
Yeah.
UConn-Cincinnati.
35-point spread.
By the way, if you sign up for Action Network and get their content, you can get every single one of Colin Wilson's plays and all their experts. Yeah, they put them all on there.
He is dialed in.
So I saw his record today. It was the first time I'd seen his overall record. But in college football so far this year, he's 69-49.
Yeah.
Which is really solid. Like, and that's really solid.
Yeah, no, that's going across every one of his picks.
And I feel like he's been really good on the show, too, with the things that he gives us.
He's been really, really money.
So if you missed it, he likes Washington tonight. He's been all over Oregon State this year.
Yeah, well,
but different game in the trenches than Oregon State's used to.
And that's kind of me, too. I mean, I hate to do this because I really want Oregon State to do well. That fan base deserves it. But if you look at Oregon State, and this is why, you know, I don't mean to rain on anyone's parade. Oregon State is not good. They're just not bad. Oregon State is better than we thought they were, but I think there's this idea at 4-4 that you're a good team. But if you look at who they've beaten other bad teams. Now, they're not the worst team in the Pac-12, far from it. They've established that. But if you look at the teams they've played that are you would consider good teams, and by the way, there's not many of them. But just the, you know, the three teams they've played that have above 500 records, you know, they've only played three of them. Oklahoma State scored 50 on them.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaii, who laid 31, and that was a close game, but you lost it, and it was Hawaii. And then the other one was Utah. Those are the only three teams they've played that are 500 or better. And two of those, and obviously the Power Five teams, have been blowouts. And unfortunately for Oregon State, I think that this is going to be one of those. I think there's a big gap between where Washington's at and where Oregon State's at.
We have a few other notes on that game coming up. And Dion to Tallahassee, 350 on the Fan.
Have you ever been to a volcano?
I love volcanoes.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Full question today, 1080thefan.com. As always, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Will Oregon State pull off the upset tonight? Two options. Of course, Will Darkins. Or, of course not, Will Darkins.
I think you know what side I'm on because, well, we just talked about this.
They will not. Right now, 71% agree with you.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think it's really going to be close. I just think this is going to be I don't know if it's going to be as bad as Utah. I mean, some of that is, you know, Oregon State turned the ball over and they don't do that very often. And
I think that one, I mean, I don't want to say it's an outlier, but that they're better than 52-7.
They are
against Utah.
But if the spread is, the spread is what, 10.5 on this?
Is that what it is?
Let me take a look-see.
I'm not touching it, man.
I think Washington is two touchdowns better than Oregon
State.
Well,
I would think that Eason will be able to do some stuff.
Yeah, it's 10.5.
Do some things. But Nick Daschle pointed this out on Twitter, and it's a good point. You know, that Utah game scares people, but Avery Roberts, the center, Eldridge, right? Nathan Eldridge, hello, anyone? Trevon Bradford, I think Jefferson was even out for the Utah game. Those guys are all back.
Yeah. I mean,
and those are key players.
Sure. Like I said, I'm open to the idea I'm wrong. I just look at who they have played well against and who they've beaten.
Yeah. I'm just pointing out. I don't have a feel for it either way. Well, I could totally see Oregon State flipping the script on UW and winning that game, but I could also I thoroughly see where you're coming from. I think it comes from a place of logic. I get it. I don't know.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
You look at good defenses they've played, so you want to throw out, like, let's take Utah out of it. Let's just say that game was an outlier, right? Cal's got a good defense. So does Washington. Statistically, they're pretty close to one another in most of the major.
They didn't score a lot on Cal.
No, they scored 21. And so I don't think you're going to score 30 points against Washington. And this goes back to what I... Do you think that their defense is going to hold Washington in the low 20s? And to me, that answer is no. And so I think this one to me smells 38-21, maybe 35-24, maybe something like that.
Oregon State has two turnovers all season.
Yeah, they've been really, really good.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep. And the run defense is one of the worst in the Pac-12. And if you're Washington, I think if you want to know if this game is going to be competitive, it's going to be close. Can Washington run the ball and convert on third down? Believe it or not, Washington, I think, is 11th or 12th in the conference in third down conversions. If you wanted to point to one thing why Washington hasn't won these games, and Washington is what, now lost four times, two of those, you can't really figure out how, Stanford and Cal, and then the Utah and Oregon, they both had double-digit leads on that and couldn't hold it. And I think one of the reasons is, one, their defense isn't as good as it's been in years past. So if you're Oregon State and you want to hold on to something, you're like, hey, maybe they can upset them. Washington's defense is good. It's not great. It is not the defense that we've seen in the past. Their linebacking core is really soft. They don't have great pass rushers. It's a good defensive line. It's not great. Bad linebackers. I do think the secondary is pretty good. But on the offensive side of the ball, they have been horrific on third down. And against
one of the worst in the country, aren't
they? One of the worst in the country. And it has cost them in every single game. And so if you want to look at one thing, if you're Oregon State, that you need to continue on in order to be in this game, is you cannot allow Washington to just ram it down your throat and keep converting on third down. Because if you are going to win this game, you need to win it with your offense. And I do think Washington's going to come out and just try to shove their running backs down your throat and keep your offense on the sidelines and limit their time of possession. So that to me is a big one here, is physically, can Oregon State defense stand up to Washington's and keep Washington in third and mediums where they have been horrible all year?
Well, I think it's cool that they have a fun game down there, you know?
Yeah, Friday night.
It's the first time in a long time they've had their...
You're 4-4. It's in November.
They've had their stuff stirred up in a big night home game.
I hope they pack the place, and I know Friday night's going to hurt a little bit, people getting down there, but I hope that this is close to a sellout. I hope it's a great crowd and a great environment, and you know, I hope Oregon State shuts me up and proves me wrong and goes in and gets a big upset.
Go Beavers!
I'll tell you what.
That?
They're 4-4, and there's a lot of good momentum going down in that program. 1-3 or 4. If you find a way to beat Washington,
Civil War looks different.
Civil War looks much different. So this is big. I think this is a little bit of a test here to find out, can you play with the big boys? Because even though Washington's record isn't very good, I think Washington is one of the three best teams and easily could have beaten Oregon, easily could have beaten Utah, and we're talking about them in a completely different light. So huge step up in competition for Oregon State.
Vote on our poll question, 1080thefan.com, AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years, AAAIAQ.com. All right, we've got two very major NCAA stars in trouble, and we'll get to that, and Deion Sanders to Florida State rumors. I woke up to that today, and
it's the most random thing ever. Someone's already trying to shoot it down, though.
All right, we'll get to that when we return. It's 4 o'clock on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.